real people. But one man who is very, very real is the commish of the NBL, Jeremy Lulliger, who's been good enough to join us. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, mate.
Great, yeah, gotcha. Great to have you with us. A lot's happening in the in your world. We spoke to Dean Vickerman a couple of days ago about the postponement of the season. How difficult a decision is that to finally pull the trigger on something like that, which is a bit of a dramatic shift from what you hoped would be happening at the end of the year?
Yeah, well, we had hoped for an early December start, but I think pushing it back to at least middle of January gives us a much greater chance of what we're all hoping for, which is playing some live basketball in front of fans. And whether that's in a hub or in a home and away season remains to be seen, and we're still planning for both potential outcomes, but it gives us a much stronger likelihood that we'll definitely be able to play in front of a live audience, and that's what we all want and what we need commercially in order to make the season viable, and I'm sure it's what the fans are wanting as well.
Oh, no doubt about that. It's a smart play from that front. We also touched base with Dean on the fact that Melbourne United and the Phoenix, to a degree, were locked down for a little while, and certainly United were impacted by the virus itself through a lot of their organisation, and it gives them the chance to perhaps give another 6 weeks of work to get to a position where they can be on equal footing at the start of the season. Was that a big part of it too?
Yeah, that's a pretty important consideration. Is that I think it's still the fact, unless there's been an update in the last couple of days, but I think it's still the fact that neither of those teams have returned to sort of full contact training. So yeah. There's the question of the United players who were affected actually getting, thankfully they were all relatively healthy relatively quickly, but there's a difference between healthy and game fit. And getting back to match fitness, I think, was going to take them a bit of time. And then, of course, just as teams for both United and South East Melbourne, you do really need to get out there and slug it out on court in full contact environment with a nice lead into the season. So certainly that played a part in the decision as well.
Will it mean you'll have to squeeze games and days between games and get a few more games into the same a shorter period of time?
No, it won't. We'll probably, if we're playing a more traditional home and away format, we'll run a bit longer than we ordinarily would. Okay. And so the dates really we work backwards from around the end of June as our latest end date. And the reason for that is there's a couple of reasons. The first is that we're hoping to get back into a regular cadence for the following season. So yep. we're still very hopeful that we can start season 21-22 in October of 2021. And really, in order to give the players enough downtime, that means you'd need to finish the season this coming season in around June. The other reason is, hopefully, if international borders are open and the NBA pre-season activities are all happening as they normally would, albeit later than normal, then I think a number of our players would want to be back in the US or in the US from around July, August of next year. So it's important that we do have a hard finish date, but we should still be able to play a full season, and certainly pushing it back until the middle of January still allows for that, and every expectation is we'll still have a full season of 126 games and final series on top.
Jeremy, how many different scenarios have you planned for over the last couple of months? A lot of
too many.
So many CEOs across sport and racing have done so much scenario planning. Is it a little bit like that guy in Goodwill Hunting, just putting stuff on mirrors and all that sort of stuff? Or how have you gone about doing all of that?
Well, the thing is, you go about it knowing that 90% of your work is going to become redundant because only one of the possible sets of factual scenarios will play out. But those factual circumstances are changing all of the time, and with such a long lead time too, they're going to continue changing. So that the danger is trading off or getting the right balance of flexibility and certainty and making the right decision at the right time, and we're hoping to get that balance right. But what we're aiming for is to have a backstop of a hub scenario, but hopefully the situation, both in terms of borders being open, fans being allowed in venue, and of course transmission of the virus being much, much lower and health and safer, there being a possibility still of playing home and away. It may be a combination of those elements, so we may start the season in a hub and then move to a home and away, or it may be that some teams need to play in a hub and other cities we're free to come and go from. And then, you've got to make the decision whether you're just free to come and go, or whether or not it actually makes good sense.
Yeah, and just one more from me, Jeremy. It does seem that the fact that we have such low numbers comparatively to other places in the world with COVID is seeing it might be a real advantage for us. Even a couple of the Americans that we've spoken to recently are kind of saying, well, I actually want to come because I might feel safer in Australia than I do in my own country.
Absolutely, and I think it's going to, again, pushing back a little bit further, allows some of those other major basketball markets to play out their decision-making too. And I think what we'll actually see is that seasons won't go ahead or seasons will be significantly truncated in other parts of the world. And that we'll be the beneficiary of that in terms of talent who's wanting to come to Australia. It's interesting in terms of the Next Stars recruitment process as well, because the NCAA decision-making is taking perhaps longer than we'd anticipated, but that gives us a little bit more time to hopefully attract some of those young superstars back over to Australia.
Yeah, and you can send them down to Tassie too. The team's not too far away. The big reveal, the name, October 1. I thought the Timbers was going to be the name, Jeremy, but that was the first one out, so what do we know? And then we now know the Mountaineers is out as well, which leaves us with the Tridents, the Pride and the Jack Jumpers. Register at nbltas.com.au to register the vote and be the first to find out. What do you think it'll be, Jeremy?
Well, look, I know there's a late push coming for the Tridents. I probably would have put that as if I was a betting man, I would have said that was the third a couple of weeks ago. But I think the Tridents is getting a lot of support. But, you know, Pride and Jack Jumpers, they really resonate with a lot of the members of the public as well. But I know that there's been a lot of gossip around the Trident.
I want the Jack Jumpers now. I'm on the Jack Jumper train, so I'm going to vote for that at nbltas.com.au. Kamish, always a pleasure to chat. Go well, mate. Good stuff.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Take care, guys.